Welcome to Local SEO Today. On this podcast, John Vong interviews business professionals and entrepreneurs in many fields to uncover challenges and successes in business ownership. Our goal is to provide you with insights into the entrepreneurship journey and give you tips and advice from real experience. Brought to you by Local SEO Search based in Toronto, Canada.
Joining me today is Ramon Ray. He is a four-time entrepreneur, global keynote speaker, and best-selling author. Ramon is a founder of Smart Hustle Media and smallbiztechnology.com. He also produces the annual Smart Hustle Growth Conference in New York City, which brings entrepreneurs together to help them build healthy and profitable businesses. Thanks for joining me today, Ramon.
John, you are absolutely fantastically most welcome. It's always good to be here when I can be with another fellow business owner and share with their tribe as I've asked people to share with my tribe. So it's always great to have an exchange of minds.
That's amazing. Sounds like you're having so much fun. So we'll just get right into it and ask you, like, right now you've been doing so much, right? You're all over the place. You're traveling. But what do people know you by today? And how did you get to where you are?
That's a big question. We'll have to talk for me for 3 days, but let's see how I can succinctly say that. And then you can help me unpack what's most interesting for your audience. But I think today, listen, I'm very well known for the events that I produce, especially in the local New York area, my Smart Hustle Growth Conference I've been doing for 14 years. And as you know, in this industry, it's well known. You know, if you ask somebody in, you know, Indonesia, you ask somebody in New Zealand or other markets, they won't know Ramon. But in this small business marketing space, I'm well known. So my events, definitely, I think, as they call us, influencers, a word I don't use for myself, but I think the big brands is a word that people use, meaning you produce quite a bit of content, you're on the speaking track and et cetera. So yeah, that's pretty much what people know me as, this guy who's newly into Smart Hustle, who's had small biz technology for many years. But overall, John, I'm a speaker, a writer, event producer. And yes, I am an entrepreneur, started four companies, and as you may have alluded to, sold two. So it's a mishmash, and I think there's good sometimes in that, but sometimes it's bad, like you lose focus and throwing stuff against the wall. But I've gotten comfortable throwing stuff against the wall, but it is all in the small business space and with a tilt toward marketing. I'm not Mr. Finance. I can't help you. Like, I don't have a deep dive in SEO like you have, but it's really the overall rubric of marketing for small businesses overall.
That's amazing. So I'm just going to backtrack and ask you, so how did you get into this entrepreneurial journey? Like, did you go to school learning to be a business person, or did you have family members or mentors that you kind of followed?
Good question. I wish I could say I just finished my Harvard law degree. I don't know why people go Harvard when I say Harvard. I guess those of us who don't have a Harvard law degree go Harvard. You may have one, but that's what they
definitely not.
You know, when they mock on Shark Tank and other shows, don't am I right? Don't they always do a little British accent, I guess, to sound royalty and uppity? But no, I had a stint working at the United Nations for many, many years until I resigned and fired, kind of in the same time period. Depends on how you look at it. I knew it was coming though, and that was because of my entrepreneurial venture. So that's one big part of my life that I can't ignore. Over 10 years working at the United Nations. But while there, John, you know, I think that to be an entrepreneur, and I think there's freelancers, business owners, and entrepreneurs. I do think there's a slight distinction between them. Yeah. So as an entrepreneur, I think one who likes the risk, the journey, always looking for something new and fresh, that's me. So I think I had that bug in me, and I think we're born with that to a degree. There's just those of us who like the pain, like the thirst of losing $20,000 on our credit card. You know, we like the risk of, ooh, I don't know if I can pay rent this month. And that's really how I started. So I was working at the United Nations for many years, John, and I had this bug in me to start my first company, which was a technology consulting company. Mm-hmm. I had the skill set. That's a whole other conversation. But, you know, you as you're a kid, you get into some flows, right, some channels. So I had a techie background, ham radios, and or not ham radios, but making little radio kits. You wrap it around copper in your home. So doing that. And really, you know, someone's like, hey, my computer broke. Can you fix it? Yeah. $2 and a hamburger? Can you afford it? And you just grow from that. So that was really my first thirst of, can I charge somebody something? And from there, I can talk about it later, but from there it grew really into Inc. Magazine as one data point, asking me to write for them and Black Enterprise as well. And I'm like, okay, you want me to write for you? wow, and learning you can monetize that, then getting invited to speak. So that's how the journey kind of began and how it is today. You just keep building on these things and you realize you can make money doing it.
That's amazing. So were there, I know you mentioned like growing up, it's probably in you, but did your parents like,
oh, yeah, good question.
You? Did your parents like, were they supportive, like inspired you? Like what really drove you?
Because absolutely.
Because it's so easy to get caught up with the wrong group of people, the crowd, especially in this world that we live in today, right?
Yeah. So I had great parents. My father, my parents are ministers, you know, as in religious faith, church, depending on the word you want to use, but ministers. So, but no, they didn't push me towards that. And they weren't really into tech or entrepreneurship, just be a good human and, you know, and go on your life. But nothing negative towards them, great people. But I think the thirst for entrepreneurship, if I had to shout out some people, I think one, at the United Nations, I was just around, I guess, in our world of hiring vendors, across people who were just, oh, so what do you do here? And you learn like, oh, so you do that, if that kind of makes sense.
Yep.
So I think it started just by reading. Somehow, John, I know I would have been a reader of Inc. magazine for many years. And again, the connection of why what happened to Ramon being an entrepreneur, why he's reading Inc., I don't really know. But I think it just somehow, accidentally, you pick up a magazine and you like it. Nope, I don't like training dolphins how to clap. That wasn't me. You know, I didn't like coding. That wasn't me. Yeah. But for somehow this desire. So I think between Inc. magazine, I have version number one of Fast Company magazine, and you get the email newsletters. Well, let me back up from that. You learn about, you know, creating websites. So you may know this, John. You like me, we both kind of look like we're 12 years old. So I don't know how old you are, but some of your audience may remember the old timers, Microsoft Front Page.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is before, and those of you who are younger in your audience, before you just go to WordPress, nah. Before blogger.com, no. Before Movable Type, you would have to save and upload to FTP. So that was my journeys. And I see your laugh there. You know what I'm talking about. That was my journey, John, of really just doing content. And the tool is secondary, which we can get into. But what I'm trying to explain to people was, yes, I have this desire to share, to publish, and use the tools available at the day. Oh, AOL and Prodigy. Mm. I was an early user of those tools.
Yeah,
that helps to know the journey. So it wasn't really parents per se, but I think just somehow reading those magazines, reading those books, I was like, you know what? I like this. I like this tech, but not just the tech, or I'd have been a programming side, more so the content. And I think God's given me a gift to speak and all those things using somebody at the UN. Oh, one more thing I'll add if I may, John.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, yeah. Just at the UN, my boss also was pushing me. He was a Frenchman. Ramon, I want to do live video. And since I was a techie, I must add that to my story. That was another reason. He was a Frenchman. That's another reason why I think I could take the techie, learn how to publish in content, I cut my teeth on learning to do it for myself, if that kind of makes sense.
No, that makes total sense, because if someone's curious, right, and a constant learner, they are equipped with two things that makes up an entrepreneur, really, right? Like, because you're always talking and, you know, building things and, you know, finding if there's opportunities, because if you're interacting with a lot of people and you're reading a lot, right, where then your mind's always thinking, why hasn't this happened? Why isn't this available? Then, you know, you start thinking about different ways and solutions, right, and opportunities and ways to really impact the world, right? To help others. So that totally makes sense, because even myself, I mean, I don't think of one person that kind of guided me. I just think that I was different.
Yes.
Right? Because my three other siblings, they all did engineering. Mm. And I went to business school.
Right.
I studied finance. I did an exchange program and I was able to just travel and meet just different people, because I was always curious, right? And then all these different jobs I've had, there was not just one person or mentor that really gravitated toward. I really wanted to be the best. So I always just gravitated towards the smartest people in each organization, right? Mm-hmm. The most successful are the ones that I found very interesting, right? And then just picking their brain and going for coffee or lunch and dinner and getting to know them, right? Like all that stuff. And then you finally realize like all these things that you've done really impacted how you become in the end, right?
That's right. And I do like to say, John, people like us, I think, are blessed or fortunate, depending on the word you wish to use, you know, that we're doing this because, again, nothing wrong with what our siblings and others have done, but you and I may not be wherever we are today, however people want to define it, if we didn't have people. And I would just shout out, I always like to, since I know we have some time, two people, Yaakov Yurinsky, a half Israeli, half Argentina guy. He's the president of a tech company now, Orion Global Solutions. He was a mentor to me over the years. We're still friends today. We're similar age, but he's a bit more far, as it were, mature in the journey. Yeah. So even at the UN, I would go to him and cry in his office. Yeah. And he'd say, Ramon, you could do it. Second name is Norm Brodsky. If you Google it, you'll see he's still an Inc. magazine columnist. He may be 70 or more. Norm, sorry if you're younger, but I think he's about 70-ish or so. And he's a serial entrepreneur well under the New York area. So there's people like that over the years who, yes, I've relied on to help me. They'd whisper, Ramon, have you left the United Nations yet? Are you still doing your side hustle?
Yeah.
You know, so no, I can mention others.
Like having just people that support you, that's so critical, right? Because people just get caught up with the wrong people. And that's the peer pressure or just surroundings, right? Like family could be a bad influence for some too, right? Like just surround people that you want to achieve to become, right? And I mean, that's great to hear that you actually tried so many different things as well. So those four different jobs, I mean, different entrepreneurial journeys, like how did you move on to the next?
Sure.
So did you end the first to move to the second to get to the third?
Yeah, and you can help me walk through it. Let me unpack them. I may make a couple of jumbled, but you're a smart guy. You can help me make it sound credible, but or make it sound make sense. So the four things were, I had a technology consulting company, small. Again, all the things I started, just to fully disclose to people. And I say this, John, some people say, Ramon, you should stop saying it, but I don't want people to think, you know, I'm the $1 billion, multi-million-dollar entrepreneur, because that's what we read about all the time in the news. I'm the guy who can create companies that generate hundreds of thousands of revenue and then sell them. That's me. I'm not the guy who can build a $10 million company. Maybe I could, but it's just not my comfort zone. So disclosure on that. So technology consulting firm, that was just me doing Microsoft Access. I would say programming, John, but more like copy and pasting or reading the book. Okay. And doing forms, you know, going to Radio Shack in the US, those for your Canadian audience, Radio Shack is our, you know, Okay, yeah. So, you know, installing the Ethernet cable with the little plastic strip on the, with the plastic molding, you put it on the wall and, you know, so you get it. So doing that. And then I had my smallbiztechnology.com, which is a blog where I'm most known at. That was sold just a few months ago.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Almost at a 20-year anniversary. Third company then was my event business called the Small Business Summit that I did that with a partner friend of mine, which we sold as well. And then the company that I'm currently heading is Smart Hustle Media. So the first one was dissolved. You know, I just stopped doing it, whatever you call when you close your account, you just stop doing it. The second one, Small Biz Technology, that's the one I sold recently. So still running it while I was running Smart Hustle, if you get the time frame, and at the UN for some of the journey. And then the small business conference business that I sold to, I think it was called Blog World. People may know Blog World back in the day. And then now I'm running Smart Hustle Media, which I think I've been running for 5 years, I want to say, give or take. And that's an agency working with brands and educating. So that's kind of, they've all been, some have been running in simultaneous with each other. But generally, one was disbanded. One was sold recently while running Smart Hustle. And the other was my event business. But events, as you know, really just kind of email list and names. But I still do events, just data, different name.
Definitely. So in terms of like... did you follow your passion growing up? Like, was this something like, you know, growing up, I was always into sports. I want to be Michael Jordan, right? Or
it's not too
late. All the younger kids today, it's Jeremy Lin for Asians, right?
Yes, or whatever. Yes, I got you.
But how did you set yourself apart? Like, you know, did you want to be a CEO or a business owner? Like,
great question.
Pursue that.
For sure. And I think if this helps people, you know, as they're listening to this, I think passion is so important. And I think, again, we hear the two things, passion. I think that is one part of business success. If you don't like what you're doing, John, as you know, it's really hard to do it. It's really hard. But I think the other part about passion is, I think it's not just passion, but you kind of have, like I say, smart hustle, the hustle about it, but do it intelligently, smartly. And you have to, I think, have the desire for the pain. You know, I read a lot about Navy SEALs. I've never been in the military, but I've studied quite a bit about the Navy SEALs. And I think that they also don't want to, I'm the Navy SEAL cool guy. they love the pain. They love the water, the cold nights. So to answer your question, yes. I think I'm only recently, John, discovering myself. I have some books behind me. One is Strengths Finders, Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership. So my point being about doing my journey, while at the UN and other opportunities, one thing I know, and I used to speak at SCORE. SCORE is the free U.S. government counseling service to small businesses. Speaking is one thing I love to do and what I do very, very well. I'm not good at numbers. A lot of things I don't do well, but speaking I do very well. So yes, following my passion for speaking is one thing, John. Other thing I've learned that I really love doing is not writing per se, listen to the difference here, but I think it's telling stories, if you get what I mean. So I happen to have written over 10,000 blog posts and et cetera. I really don't like writing. I don't like blogging. Yeah. It so happens to be the vehicle, like we're doing today. Yeah. I love doing this, content, telling stories, interviewing people. So those are the two things. So I think, yes, John, when I look at my Smart Hustle conference, or the, at the time called Small Business Conference, or whatever the name was, whatever the name of the company I sold, it was an event, speaking, sharing stories. Yeah. Smallbiztechnology.com, thousands of blog posts I wrote, storytelling, a vehicle for me to speak. So yeah, I think, and I'll, if you want, I'll tell you my secret passion. The only other thing I really want to do, unless you don't want to hear it, but I can tell you.
Yeah, definitely.
I was just baiting you. I wanted to be in the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation. That's the only thing I really want to do. And a cousin to that, I'd love to be like in the president's, our U.S. president's counter-assault team, part of the Secret Service, or be Jack Bauer of 24. So you can see it's all in the same wavelength, but that's kind of my, and I still love to do it. I'm not, but beyond that, I'm doing what I love, speaking and telling stories, man. That's all I want to do.
That's amazing. I mean, it sounds like you have this niche and you have this gift, right? Where you're definitely passionate. You're definitely loving life, right? And you're that beaming smile of you, right? Like it sounds like you're just happy. And that's the most important thing about life, right? And you finally get to this point after many, many, I'm sure, struggles and frustrating nights and days, and where you're spending 18-hour days wondering, what the hell am I doing? So
yes,
I want to get
glad you
to
said that,
because to get to where you are, people only see you, Ramon, now happy. Yes. They don't see you, Ramon, while you were starting your journey.
Sure.
Spending 20 hours, 18-hour days trying to figure out, what the heck am I doing? Yes. And am I going to get in, make enough money to pay rent?
Correct. Correct.
So on that front.
Absolutely. And I'll share it in two ways. One, the journey's not over. To be very clear, yes, I thank God that I've reached a bit of having deal flow, a good base of clients. You know, I'm not in the journey that some others maybe years ago I was. But hey, listen, I'm still figuring things out. I just told my team, guys, somebody on this team, and it's not going to be me, somebody on the team, actually, I should have another call with John, should figure out our Facebook advertising and Twitter advertising.
Yeah.
What we're doing. So meaning, we're still figuring out things. But yes, John, I think that, so I can remember when I left the UN or got fired from the UN, which I did, meaning the contract was not extended. So I knew it was coming. Yeah. So it kind of both happened at the same time. The point is, I remember panic. In fact, the letter is, if I can move my camera, it's right there. It's right next to me. It's right there. Dear Ramon, your services are no longer needed or whatever from the UN. It was like on a Wednesday, I got the letter. Friday, it was done. So yes, I can remember my wife telling me every month it would be, you know, we draw down from our salary. I didn't even know call it salary then, just money I had in the bank.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, because we have and had then a one person, one household income.
Yeah.
She'd say, Ramon, this amount's taken away. This amount's taken away every month. And at that moment is when I think the entrepreneurial light bulb went on. No free, no. Hey, Dell, I'll go speak just for cookies and a plane ticket. Nope, here's my fee. So that's one story, as it were. So I do remember those for sure. Yeah. You had to make it work. Yeah. Lying awake at night wondering, okay, I asked for $2,000. The client's only going to give me $500. Okay, how do I make this speaking thing work? Of course, today my speaking fee is, you know, much more. But the point is, so yeah, John, and I think that those who are in that position today, I really encourage you, A, stick at it. Two, make sure you're doing, as I'm sure you do for your clients, John, do excellent work. Because when you do darn good work, people see it, or you get on podcasts with John. I think three, do make sure that, let me underline that, John, I'd love to know what you think, but I think some people, there's a few people, you know, they're trying to sell water to the example, they're in the wrong market. You don't have the right mindset. You're in the wrong market. You're trying to sell Naomi Campbell lipstick or whatever example you want to give, meaning. So if that's wrong, you can do all the hustle you want. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
But if you're in the flow, and if it's only been like day two, come on, John, myself, others, we've been in this for months or years. You got to give yourself time. Tyler Perry talks about that. So is that helpful, John, in a long
conversation? Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there has to be a very strong desire and why on why you're starting this entrepreneurial journey. And you cannot give up. Like whenever you're faced with, you know, an issue or a problem or a dilemma, like you got to figure out a solution to overcome it. That first barrier, that first hiccup, like everyone thinks like that journey is going to be that golden line, right? It's going to be so easy to get to that peak, right? When reality is, it's like this every single day, right? And it's still like this. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yes.
Every business owner or entrepreneur is still, you know, trying to adapt and figure out who their ideal customer is. What's the ideal price point? Is this service actually something that people want? Like you always have to pivot and figure things out, right? Especially when you're just starting off, because you just don't know if this product or service is ideal for your demographic or your target market. That business plan that you write or whatever you have in your mind, it's never going to be what you think it's going to be.
That's right. Right? Oh, you're going to morph.
Right? So what I'm trying to get at is when I first started, I thought, well, everyone's going to love SEO. Everyone wants it.
And then I realized, and everyone's going to love you, right?
Dude. And then everyone's like competing directly with me all over the sea, all overseas, and guaranteeing everything. I'm like, look, I just got to set myself apart and do things that I know I can do right and honest, ethical, and just do things right. And whoever likes that or not, they're my tribe. Whoever isn't, then they'll go and try these other companies, right? So stay true to yourself. You know, don't fake it, right? Like I hear a lot about like fake it till you make it.
Right.
I'm not a big believer in that. At the beginning, you may just want to take on as many clients and maybe even lose money to build that experience, right? But, you know, people can see through if you're kind of faking everything. Yes.
That's true. And what do you, let me ask you, can I ask you a question, John? Is that allowed on your show? Okay, good. Going to this fake it till you make it, because I've heard this as well, people who, as it were, disagree with it, but let me give you a different perspective and let me know what you think and feel free to push back. You know,
I
respect your opinion, but I say fake it till you make it a lot. And here's what I mean. I'll give you the example.
Yeah.
I remember when I created my first small business summit, it was called Small Business Summit, precursor to the Smart Hustle Growth Conference, same thing, different name, Smart Hustle Small Business Summit. Intuit was my first sponsor. They gave me $15,000, which for me is a lot of money for a conference.
Yeah.
And the point is, they said, have you done this before? Nope. Can you guarantee 300 people will come? Nope. And you know, on the conference call, you know how people beep all the executive, beep, 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 beep. Me, it was just like, beep on my side. The point being, I didn't lie at all. Didn't pretend to be who I wasn't. I've never done it before, I told them, but I sold them on the faith that I can do it. Hey, if I can get 10 people together for cold pizza, I can get 300 people together, you know, that kind of thing. So what are your thoughts on that?
But that's type not of fake thing? It till you make it. Because you're being honest and they see right through that you're actually genuine, that you are passionate and you want to make it happen.
Got it.
And you're going to over deliver, right?
Okay,
that's
got it.
Completely different
than
saying, I promise 500 people when you have zero people subscribed.
Got it.
And guarantee, like all that stuff is different, right?
Got it. I understand.
And this is the problem with like social media and some of these other ads. I find like they're baiting people. And it's like bait and switch, right? And the problem is people are, you know, short-minded and sighted, right? They see something they like. It sounds so good to be true. As a business owner, entrepreneur, you know it's not even reality.
And we want the help, right? We want $99. I'll be at the top of Inc. today. Done, or 5,000, whatever it is.
Oh, I can earn 100,000 in 7 days?
Yes.
Right? Sign me up.
Yeah.
But these are all hacks, right? And ultimately, what are people trying to get? That system or a process, and maybe one person out of 1,000 people have made it. So they sell it on that one person, right? But 99.9% of the people never make it. So they're selling a dream that isn't really reality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the challenge today in terms of marketing and advertising. You have to catch their attention, but they're the ones that are getting a lot of the leads, the ones that are bait and switch, right? Because people are suckers to this stuff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then
right.
The real people, like running real businesses, they're the ones suffering because they're doing honest work and you're not deceiving anything. You're trying to put out real content, real call to action, real everything. And you're like not even seen. Because they have no interest on, it's going to take you 5 years to grow a business, right?
And that's why I say, John, I think what we're doing, what you're doing now, I think that you just, that's the best way to those listening to us. And I'm going to share this with my team. I think that the best way is that if the vendors, and this doesn't mean every vendor have to have a show and all that, but I think if you don't know anybody and you have no referrals, tip one, get referrals, you know, ask people, but is the person you're doing, are they hiding? If they're hiding and you can't really find it, be careful. John's out here. I'm out here. You see what we do. We're posting. We're real people. So I think that's one way without knowing anything, you see John there, you know? So exactly. I think that's, are they going to events? Are they shaking hands? And I think especially for your type of business, SEO and et cetera, where there's a lot of people doing it, how do you know who's at the top? They're not hiding, as it were.
Exactly, right? And those are the ones that are short-lived in terms of like businesses. They're the ones, and same as restaurants and same as any industry, right? They're always changing their name.
Yep.
Changing ownership. There's a red flag right there, right? Like, you know, why is that same, that location's changed three times in 4 years? Like, what's going on? They're not paying taxes. They're, you know, just running something that's not legit, right?
The only people who change their names a lot are two people, John. Assassins and bad people in a James Bond movie. Or unscrupulous businesses. That's it. Or scrupulous, whatever the word is. That's
Exactly. So I wanted to ask you, I know you've had four different entrepreneurial journeys. Can you mention some of the challenges or mistakes that you've made over the years and how did you overcome them?
Sure. I think one, and I'll start, I always like to start with the recent because I'm still on this journey, I think is really figuring out who I am and what I am. And I'll just tell you, you can help me or the audience can as they're listening to this. Feel free to email me, by the way, you know, or put in the comments wherever you're watching this. But so Smart Hustle Media. I wonder sometimes, John, is it about Ramon and Ramon's brand through which goes the events that we do, sponsored content we do in the event, sponsorships. Those are the three, you know, working with brands, events. Or is it the media company where, you know, so we're still going through that, who are we? Because Ramon has the bigger brand than Smart Hustle. So that's one thing, but that's a less challenge than I'll get to some other challenges we've had in the past. So that's one. I think two, say for example, the event business. Everybody said, John, you should expand this. We would have a big brand sit next to us, Ramon. Are you taking it national? I'm like, yeah. Are you gonna give me a check? you know, so I think really for me, John, the biggest challenge has been, and I'm, the past year, I've been on a journey to do it. Three things. One, I realized I have to be a better leader. Right behind me, right on the horizontal, I'm proving it. You just asked me, is Dave Ramsey's book, Entree Leadership.
Yep.
So that's one. Nothing about tech, nothing SEO, no API calls. I have to be a better leader. So that's one. I think two, John, the biggest struggle for me, which I'm only now, man, only now getting a grasp of is my finances. Because finances is a weak area for me. You know, you and I are nerds, geeks, and I don't know about you, but for me, and when you went to, you know, finance business school, so it's probably, that's a strength you may have. For me, it's harder. I have right behind me in white. It's the middle one there. Mike Michalowicz's book, Profit First. So that's another thing I've been digesting and reading. I have to get my numbers. So if that's an answer to the question, the two things I've struggled with are, I have to be a better leader and getting my numbers right so I can build a better profitable business. Because so many years I've been buried in my comfort zone, right? Retargeting ads. Hey, Ramon Way, I'm on IG stories.
Yeah.
That's my strength. You probably, and I can do that in my sleep. Yeah. But finances where I'm like, me? You know where I hide behind.
Well, it's good though, right? At least you know what you're not good at, and so you can improve, right? So self-reflection is so important. And I've started doing this just this past year as well, right? Like waking up at 5 a.m., the Robin Sharma thing, where I'd go to the gym and really write down what I am grateful for, what I appreciate, and what are some of the major tasks that I need to work on, right? And really understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, right? And what's the purpose? And what does success really mean to people, right? Like it'll be different for every single individual. Is it, you shouldn't be chasing money, but it helps you support your family, have a shelter, right? Yes. Like make sure all the basic necessities are there, but then it allows you to do other things like travel and take care of your friends and family, go out for dinner, right?
Exactly.
Do some events, right? Put on some events and not worry, right?
So true.
So the success, I'm always trying to figure this out as well, but I think we're in a different space. Like we're a lot further ahead than someone just starting off, right? But we are now realizing what our weak points are and how to improve, because you're already starting to read about all these. And you know, in the next 6 months or a year, you'll slowly adapt and change.
Absolutely.
Right? Because you have that right mindset, right?
Mindset. However, you're right.
Right? A lot of these entrepreneurs, they just are not equipped. Right? And they're chasing. And they don't even know why they're chasing what they're chasing. Right? No clarity.
Yep.
Right?
No, you're so true. You're so true. I think it's powerful, John. I think that mindset is everything. And I think that going back to success, I think for me, how I've defined success, how I see it, I think one, I don't know how much I should talk here, but I'll just tell you. I just had a talk recently with my wife about building wealth. Yes. Meaning again, she thought wealth meant... You want to be a billionaire? Calm down. I just want to, so whatever wealth means, but it just, the word I used, but I think it trips up some people. And the second thing, how I define success is, do I have a team that can do a lot of the things I'm doing so I can do other things? And I tell my team, you all should have your own teams for the simple thing, like let's say doing an event or building a landing page. I have to build a landing page for a client. I'm going to tell somebody else to do that. I empower you, get somebody else then who can do it. But I'm only going to talk to you. If that makes sense, what I'm trying to say, John,
Definitely.
To me, success is that I can be on this show with John. Me and John can go to a big conference together maybe, or me and him, our families can eat together. I'm making it up, whatever it is. That's success to me. I don't expect to do a Tim Ferriss, 1 hour work come on, that's ridiculous.
Yes.
But that I can do what I love and that the process is still going. And I've written down, what are the things I can do well? Sales. And writing some things that are personal. Everything else other people can do.
Oh, yeah. So about wealth, I mean, I was fortunate. I mean, I studied business finance and my wife is an accountant. So that allows me to really
hear
my finances. But I've always been, a big advocate of Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So building wealth, like foundational, running a business, having assets versus liabilities, making sure that it's working for you all the time and it's generating you revenue and profit, right? And then in terms of leadership, like I've just learned over the last couple of years, like I want to be a better leader and I'm gonna let them lead and make mistakes and it's okay. Instead of me dictating everything, and this is what happened early on when I started my agency, I was telling everyone what should be done. And I didn't even know what was right or wrong, but because I was the owner, I thought that was the best way to do it. Now I'm taking more of a back seat where every single team meeting, every single monthly call, I let all my staff members talk and let them figure things out. And I'll just rebuttal after listening, comprehending, and give suggestions. Have you thought about this?
Wow.
Let's try that, right? Empower them.
I like that, John.
Where they will then take more ownership and more power in trying to figure things out themselves and hire people and go source out consultants and do things, right? Because once you have that, then you can sleep better at night. You don't have to worry. You can work on your business, not in your business, right? And it's a lot more fun because I could really focus on doing the stuff like this, go on speaking tours, like stuff that actually—
Which only you can do, meaning at this size of your business, I assume that we kind of want, which is only John can do.
Exactly.
Man, I learned from you, man, because I just started team meetings. Don't tell anybody. So, because I'm on this journey, but I like your idea. I may not do it today, as it were, because it may be too, you have to, before you change and you have to grow with your team. But the point is, I like your idea. I may have my team, or at least some members, lead the team meeting. So far, I've only done it because I think I have to set the template and example. Yeah. But I like your point is, I think I'm going to thank you. That man, that's a ninja tip.
And one of the big things about my team is I actually love taking care of them because they're going to take care of your clients, right? So the more you can support and help and be And we always say it's like our family. If you run your company like a family, mm-hmm. you're gonna really work on it, and you don't even have to ask them to, you know, sweat it in the evenings or weekends. They'll just do it because they know how passionate you are.
Yes.
Right?
You're so they true. See it.
And that's why, like, more you empower them and you take care of them, the better they're going to perform.
Yeah, you're right, John. I'm learning that. I mean, I've known that, but I'm learning that as well. I mean, it's just really, and I say that publicly, which is a step for me, that I'm there to support my team so my team can support others. I'm curious, and you don't mind if I ask you questions, John? Is that okay?
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
What's your advice? I mean, how do you, I guess what I forgot my, yeah. So how do you, tell me more about this supporting the team, and what things have you learned to step out that you won't do, but you empower and make sure that somebody else has the tools? Tell me more about that, because I'm doing that, but I'd love to know your idea, or what things do you say, no, I'm sorry, this is what I have to do, meaning I'm going to have to do this. How do you make that judgment?
So every time there's a new project, right? Okay. Say there's a funnel that I wanted to work on.
Right.
Right. New landing page, new, you know, Facebook ads mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. I say, go see if there's tools and software. Go do your own research. See who you want, a vendor, or if we have people in-house to work on it.
Right.
Figure out that ideal customer and audience. You know our clients inside out. Put together a message, a campaign, and then let's A/B test it. And it's okay to make mistakes.
Right.
As long as you don't make the same mistakes over and over again, right? But I will guide them. I will empower them to ensure that it doesn't go bad, right? It's okay to, you know, have mistakes, but make sure it doesn't keep going, yes. right?
As Dave Ramsey says, non-fatal mistakes. Non-fatal. Exactly. That's what he says. He says, in his Southern draw, I let y'all make non-fatal mistakes, but fatal mistakes you probably get fired for.
Exactly. So, you know when.
Yes.
By the time a client realizes, it's already too late. So you got to catch it before that, right? So you got to be on them to ensure that it's still progressive. You guys still watch and oversee, right? And have people even QCing everything. Right?
Yes, yes.
So for us, it's like just empowering them, right?
Love it, man.
And I also try to take care of my team, right? We do an annual trip every year, right? Because majority of our consultants are in Asia. So we fly everyone there and we take care of them on a trip.
Right.
So the more you take care of your team, the more likelihood they'll stick with you and longevity, and they're going to take care of your staff.
Sure. Yeah. I did one thing. I started asking for the birthdays of my teams, which I hadn't had before. And I did something else. And somebody said, Ramon, or I wanted to pay. Oh, I know what it is. I wanted to give them a bonus or tip, something like that. But they said, Ramon, by the fact that you asked me this, meant the world to me. Like, they were like, no, I don't want the extra money, but the fact that you asked or were sensitive to it. So you're, and that's another thing I learned even at the UN, even though I had some challenges, John, is that I can remember my boss at the time. He put his hand, I remember which shoulder it was. This shoulder, this was years ago. He put his hand on my shoulder and just said, Ramon, I appreciate you doing great work. John, I'll never forget the warmth of his touch today, because he had issues. He wasn't the perfect boss, but man, him saying that, I was like, oh.
So that's exactly what I mean. Take care of your staff, but not just one time all year, right? On a regular, consistent basis, and acknowledge whenever there's small wins and successes, right? Because it's the micro moments people live on, right? Don't look for that huge 5-year success where they win that gold watch or whatever.
Yeah.
Do those smaller awards and wins. And I do this for myself. Like, whenever we get a new client, I would just go take my wife on a dinner date.
Nice.
Something small, but it's like a small achievement.
Absolutely.
It might not be big, but it's becoming a habit. And I've been doing it all since I started this company, right? And it's so important. It's like self-gratifying, right? And it's like you accomplish something.
Yes, yes.
Right? So in terms of, like, I know you talked about some of the mistakes, right? Tips. I know you have a lot, I'm sure. What can you kind of give, say, someone that's just kind of starting off their journey, right? What's important for people to actually acknowledge, do, and, you know, to not kind of give up, right?
Sure.
To be successful.
Yeah. I think one, for those who are starting out, I'll talk to those people and you tell me who the profile is. But for those who are starting out, one thing I'm learning is that money. If you have a full-time job, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Be very slow leaving that job. But can you do your hustle, whatever you want to call it? Can you cut your teeth? Do the stuff John and I are saying. Get ready. Go to the events. You know, can you take a vacation? I've done that. Things like that. So my point is, I say this, what I'm trying to say is because money's important. Yep. And if you have another spouse who's another income earner, or if you can save up, or you have that one or two or three clients. So don't rush them. What I'm trying to say is to cut your money flow until you're ready. Because I'm sure as John, in his own journey, my journey, it's not fun to go $50,000 in debt on your credit card or borrow money from your mom or whatever you have to do. If you can get that set up, so that's one tip, money.
Yeah.
And you can talk to John and his wife about that. We're launching a new business today called the John Ramon and Wife. No, I'm teasing. But money. I think two is really know who you're speaking to. Yeah. I get this a lot from Seth Godin. Again, another book. It's sitting there. It's the orange book, horizontal on the second shelf. I'm pointing it so people can know. When I say this, I'm serious. Seth Godin's book, This Is Marketing. Yeah. Really be crystal clear. Who is my target audience? Who am I serving?
Yes.
And I've been very clear on that, John. That's why even the last few weeks, I realized, no, I'm going to stop saying just entrepreneurs. We all get it.
Yes. But
freelancers, small business owners, and entrepreneurs. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's two. Know who you're serving. And I think three, as much as you can develop yourself as a person, going back to what we said, John, I think that's a third tip, which I've learned late, John. I've learned late. Yeah. Meaning I'm blessed. I've been okay. We're hustlers, right? Yeah. Mary Forleo's book, Everything is Figure Outable. It is.
Yeah.
But if you can be better leaders, the tips, you know, and I at first thought it was like woo-woo. I don't know if people know that word, but woo-woo, like just all fuzzy. The guy you mentioned, Sharma, writing things down and the other tips that are these things. But I'm telling you, it's serious. I have my little notepad here. It sounds weird for me, but I usually didn't have a notepad of writing certain things down. So things like that we may be so focused on, I got to get my profit and loss, which is important. Or, you know, I got to get on Twitter. Yeah. But don't forget the other side that you as a person could be better. Was that helpful? And I'd love to know your tips, John. But
those are amazing. I mean, I just recently saw Seth live a couple weeks ago. So he's great. I mean, I read probably a dozen of his books, right?
Of course.
Because we're in the marketing world. But yeah, like always reading, always educating yourself. And if you're not good at reading written words, listen to podcasts. Watch videos. Yes. There's so many different ways to absorb content today. And there's a lot of free information, right? And go out and go do something versus, you know, a lot of people like waste their time in terms of like stuff that's not impactful or moving the needle, right? So they spend a lot of time watching sitcoms or watching whatever it is, right? Yeah, it could be hobbies, but don't waste your time doing it and let it like drain you, right?
Right.
I love the part about side hustles because I totally get it. Like, it's a big risk to leave everything without that security of income.
That's
if you're used to making 100K and you suddenly have zero and you have this mortgage payment of $4,000 a month, what's happening, right? Like, you have to ensure that you have enough equipped and or have enough side hustle income to leave what you're leaving because you know there's huge opportunities or, you know, you'll be happier or something, right? Because there has to be a moment where you have to transition and take that bigger leap and risk, right?
So true.
But I mean, you were, I mean, every risk taker, now we think about it, we look back, we're like, I can't believe we did that.
Yes. And John, I must say, I was telling people that I would leave after I had 100,000 in the bank, literally in the bank. Yeah. I will leave after I have a half a million, which is just for the average middle-class North Americaner. Again, maybe I'm wrong. People listening are like, huh, I have that. But my friends just don't have 100,000 to just meaning waste or pull out. If it makes sense what I'm saying, you know, like, oh, this is our savings. We'll live off this for 2 or 3 years with no income. Sorry. Most people don't. So my point is figure it out. That's why I say having that full-time job or side job. Hey, boss. You know, I'd like to work part-time. If you know them well, tell them why. If not, but can I cut hours? That even helps. At least you know rent and food. You're not going to have steak. That's okay. Get ramen noodles. Go back to college years.
Exactly. And figure it out, right? Yes. Like you will because that's what you have to do to survive, right?
Oh, and John, the other thing, learn sales. This is just another tip. Shout out to my friend, Adrian Miller. She's, you know, she's a sales trainer and there's many others, but you don't have to be a guru at it. But it seems like, John, you're probably pretty good at it. But for those who... shy, don't speak well, don't know just the basics of how to sell, I would just take a small course and just or longer, whatever the time is, to learn fundamentals of how to sell. Because I think it's important.
It's the most important thing as an entrepreneur, because if you can't sell your product or service, no one's going to sell it better than yourself.
Exactly.
Right? And I'm very fortunate. I've been doing sales all my life, right? Since I was 9 years old.
Nice.
I was a newspaper boy growing up.
Yes.
And that's like, and I was hardcore telephone sales. I was doing door to door. I did it all, right? But that skin of mine is so thick because I don't care about rejection, right? And objections and doors slamming on me or the phone slamming on me. Yep. It's just,
in fact, you probably loved it because out of 100 hounds, please, 50 of you tell me no so I can move on and get money from those 50.
Exactly.
People don't get that. My niece was like, you like no? Yes, because I know I'm fishing in the right pond.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So my mindset is there has to be something. There's going to be someone, and the more no's you get, and no one's doing it. Like, you never go to school learning sales, right? And that's the one thing about our education system. Like, the fundamentals of why they teach you what they teach you are really so that you can work at a company and pay taxes.
Yes. Right. You're
right. Ultimately, for the government to get their taxes so they can do what they do, and politicians.
You can follow the line.
Right. But you as an entrepreneur, you can kind of break that and do your own thing and impact your own tribe or your community or whatever you want to do.
Right.
So that's the difference as an entrepreneur. Right. And I found like I was very fortunate to, you know, do sales really young and kind of had a lot of side hustles over the years, but I always did sales and marketing all my life. Right. So that's something that I definitely am very fortunate to have.
And at 9 years old, John, I'm sure it wasn't fair because you would smile, your hair towels tasseled at the time with a nice little shirt. And you'd say, hi, Mrs. Jones, would you like to get another newspaper subscription? Oh, little Johnny, sure. So they, I don't know if it's exactly like that, but I'm imagining something like that.
That's amazing. So I wanted to ask you, so technology has kind of changed over the years, right? Mm-hmm. And it's probably evolved even since you started your first entrepreneur journey.
Yep.
How and what do you use today that is very useful for some of these startup companies or entrepreneurs thinking of starting that you can utilize to really impact your business?
Absolutely. I think so tools I can mention, you know, listen, and these are just the tool name doesn't really matter. It's the category, but we use Dropbox, but I'm a firm believer file sharing is just, you just can't do without it. Some, whether it's Microsoft's or whatever brand it is.
OneDrive.
So file sharing.
Yeah. Google Drive.
Right. I think two, task management. We use Asana, but there's so many zillions of tools out there. Yep. That's just game changer. It's just like, it shortens our team meeting because I'm always in there. That's where I can get my updates. Okay, what's happening with the client, Jamie or Kara or Liz? And I see the stream of conversation. Everything's attached to it, so that's two. And I think I'll stop there. There's so many other tools. Oh, and I must say, my inbox, I happen to be an emailer. Some people like chat. But the reason I don't mind emails because I think the English word is fastidious. My English is bad. I think it means something, John. You know these fancy words. So, but the point is that I love email because I'm very disciplined, kind of a zero inbox policy. I use filters and sorts. So those for me, John, I think without those, and video, man, come on. Zoom is like a verb now. I feel sorry for GoToMeeting others, even though those tools are good tools too, especially if they're my sponsors. So those are good tools too. But the point is, those things have really just transformed my business. And I think, though, keeping in mind, as John, I'm sure, is hinting, as we're saying, the tool is one thing, but technology is amazing, but how you use it, both go hand in hand. So those people who are not using these tools, you're missing out. Your smartphone, task management, file management, communication. Some people are Slackers, as in Slack. I'm not. But it works too.
So. Yeah, I think the big thing is there's a lot of tools out there and software. You got to figure out what's good for you and your team, right? And make sure that the adoption of those tools are used for and consistently used for everyone, right?
Correct.
Because some of these software and tools or apps are very complex for some people, right? So you got to make sure everyone's on board and using it consistently. Because if it's not, then it's a waste.
That's true.
And yeah, I use a lot of those. I use all the G Suites. I use a ton of tools.
Yes. Right?
In the SEO world, we have only tools.
I'm sure. Yeah, you have a whole toolbox, whole toolkit.
We have a whole toolbox, definitely. So I wanted to ask you, like, I know you're great in person in terms of like speaking and networking events.
I try.
Did you start your business going out doing networking events? Like, what are your thoughts about networking events versus like the live networking events versus online forums and groups?
Yeah. I think those of us, and it seems like you are like that, Don, those of us who have extroverted outgoing in a good way, because you can be extrovert and be a total pain, but in a good way, a little bit of humility to you, it's an asset we have. And I think nothing beats in person or things like this. I know when John and I see each other, if we meet each other, I'm probably going to give him a big hug. And it's like we've been brothers for years. I can feel it.
Yeah.
So I think that in-person networking just cannot be beat. However, so that's one. Full stop. Yeah. Online networking, man, it's powerful. Yeah. And some tips on that. I even have in Asana to remind me to go to some discussion groups and share and comment because, you know, there's so much going on. Yeah. And why is that? Yes, I want to share. I want to comment, want to help. Let's be real, people. Me doing that also continues to boost my brand in those forums. So I'm a firm believer, online networking, getting to know people, segmenting your network, giving back to others. Me and John are now connected. Yeah, I'm going to remember him more. I'm going to see where he's hanging out so I can keep adding value to his world. He's already done that. Obviously, we're meeting. He's reached out to me. So the point being is that, to answer your question, yes, online networking, LinkedIn, John, it's powerful, man. And this is why I tell people kind of, have some consistent content of whatever way you're doing. You don't know how many people say, Ramon, I see you all the time on my feed. I don't need you to buy from me all the time. Maybe never. But by having a fan base, my book, right? Celebrity CEO, by having a fan base and a following, you just need X percent of people to engage in your funnel, be with you, to live a decent living in your field of work, whether it's dog petting, water bottle making, I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah. And that's so critical. Like just getting out there and keep it consistent, right?
Yes.
And whatever channel that means, you might not like certain channels, so don't do it, but do the ones that you actually like going on, right? And keep it consistent, right? Because the challenge is, if you're a blogger, you like writing, right? But you might not be comfortable using LinkedIn or something.
Right?
So do what you are comfortable in and just keep it consistent. And in terms of like going live meetings and networking in person, I mean, I hate the fact that there's always real estate agents, mortgage brokers, insurance brokers that give me a card without even knowing what the heck I do, right?
Yes.
And then they go to me and they're like, can we have a meeting? Can I have a call? I'm like, first off, I don't know who you are, what you do, and why should I even go to you? Like, you brought no value to me. So why are you in my face? I don't even bring business cards to networking events, right? Live meetings. Because if someone wants to get to know me, they'll get to know me.
Yes, yes. John, you and I are in the same boat. That is the one pet peeve of mine. It goes both ways. So me and John are crossing. We never talk to each other. Can I have your card, John? I'm just repeating what you said.
Exactly.
Same thing. And or the reverse. Can I give you my card? But I get it. John, these are hungry people. They're just, I get it. But yeah. So to the insurance agents out there and others, we love you. We need you. We need insurance. We need health insurance. John and I love you, I think. Right, John?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. But that's the tip. When you see us, at least say, hi, how are you? Do you want to protect your family? John's going to say, yes. Have you thought about some financial options? He's going to say, yes. Then you can say, could I share with you three ways we're helping our clients? He's going to say, hey, exactly. He may say no. It could be a bad day to be like, no. But at least start it like that.
And always be in a position to give more than get, right? And everyone in these networking events that actually do well are the ones I find that are givers, right? The ones that actually want to help others versus the ones that are takers.
Right.
Give and Take is a great book too. You know, like it's just much more rewarding helping others and not expecting anything in return.
Yes.
Right?
That's true.
And you feel so much better that you kind of helped impact something or someone in a small way.
So true. So, and to that insurance person to say, hey, listen, John, what do you do? I help people increase their brand through content, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Maybe I have one or two people for you. Do it genuine because John and I can smell fake people. So, but right, really, because then John's going to be, I mean, if you've just, man, even it possible that you introduce him to the whatever he needs.
Yeah.
you know, listen.
Exactly. And connect with people. You don't have to connect with every single person.
That's right.
Connect with one or two that you actually have something in common with. And that's where a relationship is built, right?
That's right.
Versus trying to get a hold of every 50 person, getting to know their names and not knowing anything else.
That's right. And please don't sign me and John up for your email list without asking. I don't like that after an event, you know, Viagra today and water bottle making today and every other, you know, really.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to ask you, there's only a couple questions I have.
Sure.
In terms of your drive today, what really drives you, Ramon, in terms of like, you know, when you first started, you had a different purpose and passion. Mm-hmm. What really drives you today?
Yeah. One thing I want to do, John, well, two things I want to do. Only two things I want to do when I've, and I'm never going to arrive, but when I reach the place I want to reach at, let's say financially, because it's easy. You can count money, you know, but once I've, anyhow, you get what I mean. I think you do. So two things. One, I want to travel with my wife. End of story. Just travel.
Yeah.
Two, I love to give back. And we all say that, but I already do it, John. I have a passion for disadvantaged youth. And disadvantaged people overall. Some people it's AIDS, some people it's abused women, some people it's plastic, whatever it is. That's just not mine. Yeah. Mine is I want to really be able to secretly pay somebody's rent who needs it. I want to see a homeless person that's on the side of Newark, New Jersey, where I go to church at, who's addicted to drugs, and say, dude, if you want to go to Indiana to a drug rehab for 3 months, we'll fly you out.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There are just so many hurting people, man.
Yeah,
it's, and I can't do everything. You can, we all can't, but that's what I want to do. That's it. I want to travel with my wife and help people.
If you're able to make small improvements and impact one or two people a year, or even like in a couple years, you're making a difference. That's all we can ask for, right? That's why we're doing what we do and we love, right? Because if you're able to live a decent life and also help others, I mean, that's what life is about, right? That's contributing to society, making a difference, right? So one thing I wanted to ask you, so aside from business, and I know that you've been doing all these entrepreneurial things, you're very spiritual, you take care of your family, you contribute to society. How about your health and, you know, your friends and relationships? Like, what are the strongest pillars in your life?
Sure. Great question. Thank you for that. I think a couple of things. One, as you said, I'm a person of faith. I happen to be a Christian. Those who are listening are not, no problem, but faith is important to me. And I say there's a caveat, you know, all kind of politics and things in the world, but that's me. But I think faith is important. If it's not for you, okay. Faith is important. Two, definitely been married, as we talked, you know, offline, 25 years and strong relationship with my wife, which I think is important. Again, a lot of our friends, some of our friends going through divorce and issues, everybody has their path and journey. Everybody does. We all have our dark areas, but I'm grateful that at least I have that. So that's really important. My wife is my ground. And two, health is important, man. I wake up in the morning. So I'm on the treadmill, the emotional treadmill, like all of us are, gym or no gym, but I'm pretty disciplined. And this is a word that I'm sure, John, you can talk about for hours, but I'm disciplined. When I wake up in the morning, I have a bottle of a drink of water. I have nuts and berries and things. Yeah. I do about 50 to 100 push-ups throughout the day. Yeah. If I go to the gym or not, I don't kick myself up, but that's for how I feel fit. So those are my really disciplines. We have good friends that I'm hanging out with and we're with. And really, I think, and I have another thing I'll say on my phone, KIT, K-I-T, keep in touch. About 20 guys that I call and just say, dude, I'm supporting you and I care about you. And part of the reason I do that, John, my father died some years ago. And I guess I've always desired to have a male in my life like that, meaning he was in my life. But I wish I had someone to, hey, bro, how can I help? Yeah. And so I make sure to do that for others because I desire it so much.
I love that. So being a mentor is a huge thing for myself as well. Just helping people that actually need it more than you think. And just that reminding message or call to say, is there anything that I can help you with today or this week or this month? Are there any struggles? Right.
It's true, man. And I do it different. I must say, I don't know about your wife, but I know my wife, she says, you know, when she talks to her friends, it's like a 72-hour conversation. Me, I'm like, if I called you, John, I'd be like, hey, John, how are you? Good. Family's good? Good. Anything I can help with? Good. 5 minutes. Not all the time.
Exactly. Of course,
if you have a real hurt. But
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. Because we're busy people, right? And plus, we want to help as much as we can. Yeah. But, you know,
Yeah, we communicate different.
Let me know what we need to help with. And this is the bro thing, I think.
Yes.
It's like, guys.
Versus, what's up?
Oh, it's an emotional thing. Wow, it's been a tough day. Yes. You know, all that stuff. I totally get it. No, that's amazing. So how can some of the listeners get a hold of you, Ramon? I mean, this has been amazing. So
likewise.
Tell people your business website, your
social
media handles, email, whatever.
Yeah. Listen, if you're looking to be inspired, every week I send an inspirational email out just telling people what's up and more. Things like John and I are talking. So if you go to smarthustle.com and sign up, it's probably the best way to keep in touch and get more of Ramon if you're interested. My personal website is ramonray.com. But between ramonray.com and smarthustle.com, come and see me. And John, you are on fire. I can't wait to read your second, third, and fourth, and fifth book. He's like, wait a minute. And get to know you better. You're an amazing human. Really, I feel it. And I can't wait to get to know you better, man.
That's awesome. I love those kind words. We had so much fun today, Ramon. I know you're a very busy person. So I want to thank you for being on our show. And if you're ever in Toronto, hit me up.
Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Ramon.
Thank you for listening to our latest podcast. Please subscribe to Local SEO Today and tune in to our next episode.